ZQ, where news is next. For 30 years, Ichabod's Lounge has provided incredible food, gaming, and nightly entertainment. Hey, Kevin Wall here. They've been here to serve you through good times and bad. Now, a lot of Vegas restaurants have been forced to close due to the governor's latest restrictions. But Francois and his amazing staff at Ichabod's Lounge aren't going anywhere, regardless of what may lie ahead for us. And at Ichabod's Lounge, your safety is their number one priority. So you'll see bartenders and servers wiping down services again and again. Even in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, Ichabod's is ready to serve you. But they know that some of you are reluctant to get out, and they get it. That's why Ichabod's Lounge features their incredible menu for both dine-in and carry-out. Call 702-451-2323. 702-451-2323. Ichabod's Lounge, featuring old-school Vegas atmosphere and one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas. Ichabod's Lounge, open 24-7. Vintage Vegas dining, gaming lounge, and piano bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. The House has passed and sent to President Biden his $1.9 trillion relief package today in an almost party-line vote. House Ways and Means Committee Chairman Richard Neal says Republicans should spend more time discussing how the bill helps Americans.
Instead, there has been a lot of talk about this package being too large and too expensive. But if there was ever a time to go big, this should be it. Shouldn't we be helping struggling American families be worth the size of this bill?
But House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy says the bill is simply too expensive.
At $1.9 trillion in new spending, the so-called American Rescue Plan is the most expensive single bill in American history.
The legislation provides a direct payment of $1,400 for a single taxpayer or $2,800 for a married couple that files jointly, plus $1,400 per dependent depending on their income. House Republicans who represent states across the southern border held a press conference on Capitol Hill on the Biden immigration policy. Details on this from Capitol Hill correspondent Bernie Bennett.
Southern Border Coordinator Roberta Jacobson says that it is not a coincidence border crossing attempts spiked after President Biden took office. House Republicans heartily agree. Texas Republican Jody Arrington said the president has options.
If he wants to do something, then adopt the stay in Mexico policy that the Trump administration had. That would help tremendously.
Freshman member Dr. Ronnie Jackson said the spread of COVID could be linked to this influx.
All these people are coming across the border right now. Nobody's saying anything about the danger that they pose to us right now from an infectious disease standpoint.
Bernie Bennett in Washington.
On Wall Street, the Dow by 464 points to 32,297, a record. The NASDAQ down 5, the S&P up 23, and crude oil up 43 cents to $64.44 a barrel. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The following are real-life stories from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt.
I used my credit cards as a source of income.
It was not a good situation.
I couldn't pay my bills.
The interest on the cards was really high.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
I initially was scared to call, and immediately I felt relieved.
They contacted all of our creditors, and they put us on a plan for success.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
I've been able to pay off close to $15,000.
We're doing a lot better.
Please pick up the phone and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
It's a godsend.
We're debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
I'm Mark Hutchison, founding partner of the law firm of Hutchison and Steffen. We're the Nevada law firm focused on helping businesses do business, especially when governmental obstacles get in the way. As someone who has been heavily involved in state government for many years, I know how government works and doesn't work for business. With so many rules, procedures, and regulations, Nevada businesses are almost certain to become entangled with government at some point. Bottom line, if your business gets caught up in the quagmire of a dispute with government, you can count on Hutchison & Stephan to help you navigate the rules, procedures, and regulations of federal, state, county, or city government. When you have a dispute with the government, we are the go-to firm for Nevada businesses. Whether it's facing the prospect of a proceeding before a board, commission, or agency, or finding yourself in court with the government on the other side, our team will be on your side. Call Hutchison & Stephan, 702-385-2500, or visit hutchlegal.com. That's 702-385-2500, or visit hutchlegal.com.
It's 4:04. This is your KMZQ Newsflash. I'm Jim Dallas. The $1.9 trillion economic recovery package includes $4.5 billion for Nevada. The money earmarked for governments includes $2.9 billion, $439 million for Clark County, and $130 million for Las Vegas. Republicans in the U.S. House and Senate have been united in their opposition to the huge package, citing its enormous price tag and signs that the economy is beginning to rebound as the COVID-19 restrictions are relaxed. With thousands of vaccine appointments now going unfilled, local health officials are urging COVID-19 shots to be open to people 55 and older. Cashman Center and the Las Vegas Convention Center, Clark County's two mass vaccination locations, have recently been running at well below capacity. Both facilities are capable of giving out 4,000 shots per day. Cashman has been averaging about 2,500, with the convention center doing about 3,000. When Nevada's vaccination campaign began, appointments were hard to come by, but that has changed as the Silver State's weekly vaccine allocation has increased. Meanwhile, Nevada's 14-day positivity rate has dropped to 6.3%, which is a far cry from the 21.6% at its peak back in January.
KMZQ On-Time Traffic
is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers.
Right now, come in for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95.
You are bumper-to-bumper right now through the resort corridor of Interstate 15 north at Spring Mountain, south 15 at Sahara. Moderate flows on the Southern Beltway, 215 northbound and Robindale. And remember, chains or snow tires are required if you're traveling up to Mount Charleston.
And in addition to that, we have to make sure that we are in a position that we are. Well, let me go to the second thing. I've spoken of it.
And what makes his wild claims and hopes, he now hopes we don't notice what he said or won't remember. And when he does follow through or doesn't do, when he followed through, the exact opposite.
Check it out.
COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. When you think about it.
Don't call me stupid.
Oh, right! To call you stupid would be an insult to stupid people!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Hour number two of Live and Local. Good to have you with us. Kevin Wall with you. This special Nevada Policy Research Institute report is brought to you by Jim Marsh Chrysler Jeep, Jim Marsh Kia, and the Jim Marsh Auto Body Shop. Also by my friend Paul Enos and all the good men and women at Nevada Trucking Association. Robert, it's been a while since you've been on. You've been busy, my friend. You've been writing.
Hey, Kevin. Great to be back with you. Yes, a lot of writing, a lot of researching. Staying busy. The world needs a free market voice now more than ever, it seems.
Boy, isn't that the truth? I know that we've all been talking for the last few weeks about this $1.9 trillion bill, the COVID-19, the Biden Recovery Act, whatever you want to call it. The word is that we're going to get $4.5 billion
in the state of Nevada from the federal government. A lot of us are going to get $1,400 checks from the federal government. Talking about the money coming to Nevada, I wanted to get into the weeds a little bit. Who gets what in this whole deal?
Yeah, so this, you know, one clarification there is you and I and Nevadans don't get $4.5 billion. That's all for the government. That's for all Nevada government. The state gets, I think, $2.9 billion, and then the rest goes to cities, counties, and school districts. Clark County School District is going to get $835 million, for example. So government is going to see a huge windfall. I mean, we're talking, if you, you know, factor in these numbers, it's like they got a 20 to 30% boost to their budget. So, you know, and they said what they're going to do with it. Like, well, this is great. We can make sure we can keep all of our employees paid and expand our projects and do everything we want to do. But yeah, so that's, you know, I've read that report and that I really took issue with the headline because like Nevada gets $4.5 billion. I'm like, no, there's one class of workers in Nevada that gets that money. You know, so it's going to be interesting to see if they, the legislature still tries to raise taxes because, you know, they've got a bunch of tax proposals on the table and they have absolutely not, they had reason before, but it's like, COVID was a good thing to them in terms of revenue. I mean, with this bailout, they're getting 30% more money than they would have had normally. So you would think, the legislators who would propose these taxes would say, oh, okay, we're going to take them off the table. You know, taxpayers are suffering enough. We're not going to punish you more, but the Democrats are in control, so we'll see what they try and do.
How much flexibility will states have? Will Nevada have? Are these going to be like block grants, or are they earmarked for specific programs? Cops, hospitals, that kind of thing.
You know, my understanding, and it's, you know, classic federal legislation where they have to pass it to find out what's in it. So I don't think anyone's actually read this thing completely top to bottom. So it's just weird that I have to say this. We'll have to wait and see what's actually in the bill they already passed. But my understanding is that it's total free reign for the government. It's just general funds, whatever they want to use it on, and that's why, you know, the way the Democrats were celebrating is making sure they didn't have to lay off a single employee and making sure all the raises can keep coming in on time. But the one thing I heard, and, you know, this sounds too crazy to be true, is that the one thing they said, the one restriction, is that with all this extra money, with governments having so much more money than they expected, the Democrats who offered this bill said, well, you can't use it to fill in your expected revenue such that you lower taxes. Don't you do that. You can't use this to justify lowering taxes, even though we're giving you all this money. You got to keep your tax burden just as high as it is and find other ways to spend the money. That's what I've read. It sounds too crazy to be true, but we do live in crazy times. So to answer your question, no. There's no restrictions. They're going to use it on their normal operation.
I'm just curious if states are going to have the flexibility to use this for instance, in our case, PERS, and to fill in some of the shortfalls there, some of the other programs that we've got already going on that we don't have the money to pay for.
From everything I've seen, yes, they have the flexibility to do basically whatever they want. You know, it's you would think that they would do what you said and say, okay, we have so much more money now thanks to this huge federal bailout that we can not only pay everyone, give them the raises, do everything that we plan on doing, let's pay down some of our debt like PERS. But knowing government, it wouldn't surprise me if they don't take advantage of that and they instead do what they almost always do, which is say, oh, we have this extra money, let's expand. We need more employees. We need to be in more areas of your life. We need more programs. So that's my fear. So we'll wait and see.
Let me just ask you, I don't know if you've been in touch with Daniel Honcharoo, but I'm curious, and we'll get a chance to visit with him later this week. I'm just curious if there's any indication from Democrats as to if they're going to be willing to do some sort of no-tax pledge now that they know that there's this huge infusion of money into the general coffers.
You know, I don't know. I've been in touch with Daniel. I don't think he's heard anything on that yet, but that would be, you know, we're obviously against this bailout, but the bailout happened, so it's over. And you are right that at this point, they have absolutely no basis to push for higher taxes because they got every penny they wanted, plus billions more. So I don't know, you know, it's hard enough to get Republicans to commit to a no-tax pledge. So I don't know how many Democrats we're going to get. But what you should get is a unified, clear, objectively true messaging saying, listen, the government got everything they wanted and more. Taxpayers are still struggling. If you go forward with punishing Nevadans further with higher taxes, despite this record high level of revenue you're getting, you should never hold office again in Nevada. That's the facts on the ground. So I would just be happy if there was, you know, a consistent message holding them to account there, because it's just totally unjustifiable. You know, you could have said something without this about how the pandemic affected revenue, blah blah. This is a windfall for them. The pandemic was good to them, so they have no basis for asking for higher taxes.
Again, Robert Fellner joining us, Vice President and Director of Policy for Nevada Policy Research Institute. You write about a variety of things. In fact, I just saw one of your latest columns where you reference a Netflix film. You know, talk about pop culture references. I love that.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to, you know, obviously our goal is to reach as many people as possible and to really reach the people who don't, you know, kind of already think like us and are interested into this line of work, there's this really cool movie that just came out on Netflix and getting a lot of buzz, and it's about this terrible evil lady named Marla Grayson, and the actress who plays her does such a good job where you're rooting against her the whole film, and she's just so dastardly and taking advantage of the elderly. And a couple of days after watching the film, I heard an interview with the president of the largest teachers union named Brandy Weingartner, and she actually said that you could keep schools closed as long, basically forever. It didn't matter how long you keep schools closed. It won't harm kids. They're resilient. They'll bounce back. And I said to myself, wow, this con artist is like this villain from the movie. I mean, she'll lie right to your face. She'll hurt this vulnerable population, being kids, just for her own benefit. Because, of course, what everyone knows and agrees upon is kids are suffering really badly right now from keeping the schools closed, from, you know, things like suicide and depression and self-harm. That's what I wrote that article. It's on NevadaPolicy.org right now, and trying to draw those parallels between there's a con artist here, and unfortunately, she's not fictional, and she's taking advantage and hurting our kids just for their own political gain.
And some of the stories that, or the op-eds that you pen are amazing. Like the study you folks have done at NPRI relative to prevailing wage, which we knew would drive up the cost of a government in our state. Tell me what you folks have found relative to minimum wage.
Yeah, so the prevailing wage laws are laws that require government to pay a set wage scale on all their construction projects. And the wages are designed specifically to be above market. So we just went to the labor commissioner, said, hey, what's the prevailing wages? Okay, let's go to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. What's the average wage for this job in Nevada? And we compared them. And what we found was that those prevailing wages are on average 60% higher than the market wage.
Wow.
So unsurprisingly, when you require someone, being the government, to pay 60% above market wages, that inflates the cost dramatically. And that's costing taxpayers tens and tens of millions of dollars every year.
Give us an example of the type of building we're talking about. Are we talking about hospitals or schools or libraries or what?
All. It's all public works, so all of the above. I mean, and the ones we focus on the most are the schools. And a headline for this could be NPRI and government agree. Prevailing wage takes tens of millions of dollars out of classrooms. Because it's not just us who found this. All of the government agencies, the Nevada System of Higher Ed, the Washington County School District, the Clark County School District, City of Las Vegas, etc., when these bills come up to just tweak the prevailing wage a little bit on the margin, like last year, very, very small change, all of those agencies said, well, if you do that, you're going to make us pay these higher, wage rates. We, as the affected government agency, submit a fiscal note, like Clark County School District said, that's going to increase costs. I can't remember the exact number. I think it was like $20 million a year. So that's what it does. And it exposes the Democrats as just servants of the unions, right? Because if you're in Nevada and you listen to Nevada Democrats, every year for the past 10 plus years, probably longer, they say the same thing. We don't have enough money to spend on education. Yet they put forward this bill, or this program, which everyone, including the schools, say, if you do this and force us to pay these higher rates, we're going to lose tens of millions of dollars a year to fund these construction projects that come out of the classroom. And they say, we don't care, we're passing it anyway. And that's the big takeaway of this is, if you want to see where their loyalties really lie, this kind of makes that plain.
That is amazing. And eventually we're going to get to a point, am I right, that we're going to be able to say, you know what, if without the prevailing wage, we were building a school, we could have built two schools or three schools. We are going to get to that point, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely right, because that's another thing we found is our former policy director many years ago, Jeff Lawrence, did this first study for NPRI on this issue back in 2011. And at that point, the prevailing wage was just 45% above the market rate. When I did it for the new data last year, I found that now it's 60% above the market rate. So you're right, it does keep getting higher. And it's designed to. The old Nevada Labor Commissioner, when he was testifying before the legislature, he said, yeah, of course, that's the whole purpose. I mean, if you wanted to pay the market rate, you would do what everyone else does. And we need a construction project built. You go out, you solicit bids, and you pick the best one. The only reason we have this law is to force you guys to pay higher rates. So you're right. That's the perfect way to look at it. And that's where these costs are going. And it's just the same old story. I mean, they put the unions first and, taxpayers, governments. And to me, the most upsetting is students end up suffering.
I look at this and the first thing I thought of was this has got to be a typo in Clark County. The prevailing wage, for roofers, rose a staggering 121%. Did I read that right?
That is absolutely right.
That's incredible. That's
those
incredible.
Numbers are low. We make, when we run that analysis, we give them every kind of advantage possible to make sure it's any assumption that's being made is made in their favor. So that's the floor. So that's the minimum estimate. It might be higher. It is incredible.
Robert Fellner joins us. And is this in statute or is this in our state constitution? Where does this prevailing wage thing come from?
It's statute. I don't even know how you can put it in the constitution because it's just discriminatory. It's saying one group of people get the profit, the rest of you guys pay for it. But no, it's just statute. So if you have a legislature that wants to do the right thing by Nevadans instead of catering to the special interest, they could repeal it. But you need someone with real backbone. I mean, even when the Republicans were in charge, they only tweaked it slightly, made it basically 10% less bad. And then when Democrats came in, they just undid that. But even when they did that, I mean, making 10% less bad, you had all the governments submit their fiscal notes saying, well, we'll take it. You're still going to save us millions of dollars. So there's a lot of money to be saved there if you get a legislature that wants to do the right thing.
And again, we've made gains in both houses It is possible that at some point we could take back one or the other house. Am I right?
You know, I listened to your segment with Chuck Moose, who's really, really smart, and it was a good segment. And to answer, yes, it's possible, but you got to have Republicans come forward with a clear message. Like Chuck was saying, why isn't every Republican every day saying, you know, this shutdown is unconstitutional? It's been going on for 350 days. It's not an emergency. What is it? So you need Republicans or anyone to come forward with a clear message saying, we stand for these values, not we're basically the same as the other side, but like 5% less bad. Like, that's not inspiring. So I do think, yes, you could easily recapture and take over the legislature if you have, you know, that type of principled message. And honestly, I think you get a lot of independents. I think you get a lot of moderate Democrats. I mean, there's that message resonates with people. They want to be, you know, no one wants to pay higher taxes and get nothing back in return.
Hey, Robert, how can folks find this study, though? This study is incredible, and it is jaw-dropping. I mean, this is something that I don't operate heavy machinery while you're doing this, because this really will stop you right in your tracks. How can people find it?
Just come to our website, nevadapolicy.org or NPRI.org, and right in the search box, type in prevailing wage. It'll be the first article that comes up.
Robert, always good to visit with you. Thanks, my friend. We will do it again.
Thanks, Kevin. Talk to you later.
There you go. Robert Fellner, Vice President and Director of Policy for Nevada Policy Research Institute. And like I say, he's one of the smartest guys I know of. In the state of Nevada. He's just, he's absolutely borderline brilliant. And we'll have him on more often, because he is, he's absolutely, he's just really, really smart. Stay where you are. Lots more to do as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ.
Blend of breaking news, interesting views, and informative interviews. The Jim Bohannon Show, weeknights from 7 to 10 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
You can always depend on your locally owned and operated Meineke for the essential service your car needs. From engine repair to oil changes, we are here to help you get back on the road. At Meineke, our expert technicians are here to help you understand the problem and the fix. Save time and schedule your next appointment online at Meineke.com. Right now, a basic oil change is just $17.95. Engine, brakes, tires, oil. Meineke, doing car care right.
Hi, I'm State Senator Scott Hammond. These are difficult times for all of us, a time set apart. But our Las Vegas community has always come together when we need to. We all have a part to play, and it is heartwarming to know that our community is strong enough to fight this. Many of you also have questions or concerns, which is why I have compiled as much information and resources on my website as possible. Please visit hammondfornevada.com/COVID-19. That's hammondfornevada.com/COVID-19. Paid for by friends of Scott Hammond.
Do you suffer from aches and pains? Have you considered trying cannabis, but you don't want to smoke? Evergreen Organics has a solution for you. Delicious edibles. Evergreen Organics produces high-end infused edibles such as cookies, brownies, chocolates, and gummies. Evergreen Organics culinary-trained chefs combine the finest premium cannabis and ingredients that are handcrafted daily for your ultimate experience. To learn more about Evergreen Organics and where you can find their products, check out evergreenorganics.com. Keep out of reach of children, for use only by adults 21 years of age and older.
Findlay Acura in the Valley Auto Mall has a huge inventory of 2020, 2021, and the all-new redesigned 22 MDX. That means the 20 and 21s must go. Our loss, your gain. Save thousands on any lease or purchase with great rates starting as low as 0.9% on selected models. So don't delay. Come down to Findlay Acura in the Auto Mall and visit us at FindlayAcura.com. Findlay Acura, the new definition in luxury.
Again, stop in today at Findlay Acura in the Valley Auto Mall.
I'm John Sarpalis, president of Nevada Policy Research Institute. There are plenty of institutions and organizations here in Nevada that want to control your lives through our state government. Nevada Policy Research Institute is here to stop these overgrown bullies. Ask yourself, who is keeping Nevada students from returning to school? Will the governor actually cut some state programs and government employees instead of raising your taxes? In the 2021 legislative session, the cry from the institutions will be more taxes, more taxes. Nevada Policy will be there to speak for you, the individual. Nevada Policy educates voters, legislators, and the media on sound ideas to protect